Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoldBoxMedia.com with your host.
But the laws of physics no longer apply in the future. God help you.
The oh so sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional proton particle emitter. New talent.
And from somewhere deep cold in the vastness of space under the Antarctic Circle, inside a Kleenex box. I have no idea. This is Boxheads. You're on CodeBoxMedia.com. You are also listening to it via live here on BlogTalkRadio.com. How's it going, everybody? Shrig should be with us. Let me check here. Shrig? Wow. Turn down your radio, sir. Shrigs. I can. Okay, I'll put it on hold. Okay, so until he figures out that he's listening to the stream, and he's a little bit too loud anyway. So, everybody, how's it going? Good, excellent. If you guys want to get in contact with the host today, give us a call at 347-838-9713, or you can email us questions, comments, etc. to boxheads at codeboxmedia.com. That is our contact information. So I'm excited. Quite a few interesting topics to get to. I'm glad I'm not doing the solo again. I'm not sure what sholo is. I don't really know what that means. But I'm drinking green tea because it's delicious. And I actually just woke up, if you couldn't tell. So it's going to be a fun show. I'm excited. Let's see if Shrigs has fixed the problem. Shrigs? Nope. All right, so going back to just me. Let me send him a quick Skype message here. You have the stream too loud. Well, okay, there we go. So that is all taken care of and wonderfully set. I got my new Game Informer magazine that has the Elder Scrolls Online logo there. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how much I think this is going to be a farable idea. By farable, I do mean terrible, of course. I was actually trying to say very and terrible at the same time, and it did not come out correctly. So Shrigs is wearing earphones. Shrigs. Hang on. Let me see if I can fix this problem. I love technical problems. But hey, you know, it's all in the name of radio. That's usually what... Oh, well. Anyway, so, yeah, we're going to be talking about the Elder Scrolls Online game, which, you know, honestly is a pretty cool idea, but I just don't think it's going to do very well. If you've seen The Avengers, I'm just going to tell you to go see it again. And if you haven't seen The Avengers, I'm going to tell you to go see it three times, because it's amazing. Very, very good movie. And it's pretty awesome. So, Shrigs thinks he's figured out the problem. Nope, still figured out the problem.
No,
Shrigs, I can still just hear myself talking, which is really creepy. So, anyway, what else we got here? Turn my light so I can see stuff. Gee, mini crickets. I'm just actually kind of flipping through the Game Informer magazine to see if there's anything cool to kind of go over here, because it usually has some good news articles to go over every once in a while. This is actually my brother's company. Our mail is kind of screwy, so I get his copy. So I read it in about a day and a half and then give it to him. So kind of a win-win situation. Nothing really exciting in this, honestly. But, yeah. So, articles. Valve actually did finally win the quote-unquote lawsuit that Blizzard was trying to sue them over Dota. Blizzard actually agreed to change their name to Blizzard All-Stars, it sounds even dumber that way, so good job. I think I'm just glad that Blizzard actually won that argument. which was a stupid argument by Valve in the first place. I feel that they're just not the best. So, I have an Echo, Shriggs. Huh. Okay, hold on. Technical issues here, people. One moment. I have an echo, apparently. Let me drop Shriggs here. I'm going to mute myself and then unmute myself, so give me just a moment. Okay. I'm going to have Shriggs call back in. I love when this happens. It's so fun. I'm going to make sure I'm not broadcasting to anything else. I shouldn't have an echo. Live television, even though this technically is not television. Checking all my levels. They are set. Got to check my playback because that is also important. Let's see. It does not play back through the microphone, so that is the way it should be. Huh. Shriggs will call back. You know, whatever. It happens. It's been a long week. It's been a very fun and eventful week. Lots of stuff has happened. Lots of gaming news has really kind of gone over and over. So, yes, that is very good. I am excited for that. You know, actually, I just realized that I closed all my articles like an awesome person. So I'm going to do some fill while I actually try and find these articles again. I apologize. I wish Shriggs was here to do the filler, but not going to happen. So, yeah, Kat is still in Disney World down in Florida. Apparently, she had a phone debacle, and her iPhone is no longer working, which is unfortunate because she had a lot of pictures on there, and the cloud sync was not working properly. So, that kind of sucks. Yeah. Just kind of going over some actually newer articles that were posted here. Apparently, CD Projekt Red is hiring for a RPG in a brand new setting. Okay, cool. Another RPG that's going to come out. Of course, CD Red is a makers of The Witcher and The Witcher 2. So if you guys are a fan of that game and you guys have some skills or going to school, maybe apply for that. Give you guys some nice resume, nice portfolio, Miggins. Let's see, where's all my articles? They're not here. I'm very upset that I am having all these problems. That's okay. There's a picture of a omelet on a joystick.com. I like that. That's cool. Shriggs, okay. Apparently he called back in. Man, Blog Talk Studio is not having a good day today. I refreshed the page. He's not there. It's going to be an interesting show. So let me just do it this way. I'm going to add Shriggs to the group call. Shriggs?
Yeah?
We're just going to do it this way.
Okay, so just through you?
Yep. I'm not sure what was going on, but you are live on air now, sir. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. I should be in the host queue right now.
You know, it took about 30 seconds for that to show up. So, yeah, technical issues on Blog Talk Radio's end from the looks of it. But, hey, that's okay. It happens. No big deal. We figured it out. Were you able to catch anything of what I was saying?
Any what?
Exactly. See, Shriggs just ignores me. Yeah? I'm here, Shriggs.
Say what now?
Are you trolling me, sir?
No, something lagged. What did you say?
Oh, I said that, did you hear anything I was talking about while you were listening before?
No.
Okay. I was going over the Skyrim MMO. We're going to be going over that. We're going to be going over the Valve article. They finally won the case against Blizzard whining and crying that Dota was their product, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, I know. We're also going to go over a little bit of Guild Wars 2 since you are here, since you were not able to make last week's show, since you were on your ass drunk and partying about graduating college. So, yeah, we're going to go over that a little bit. And just some other news and fillers and blah, blah, blah. So, again, guys, get in contact with us. You can give us an email at boxheads@codeboxmedia.com or use any type of phone device and call us 347-838-9713. Or if you do not feel comfortable, I will gladly add you to my Skype and I can direct call you in that way. Just add Bazeel to your Skype, B-A-Z-E-L-E-E-L, and I will do a direct connect for you. Just remember, if you do try and troll the show, I will report your Skype name, and that will not end well for you. So, yes. So, Shriggs, I talked a lot about Guild Wars 2 last episode, but I wanted to give you some time to kind of go over your experiences, and what did you think of, basically, what was your first impression?
My first impression was, dear God, this world is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The city, like, I've seen other MMOs, I've been to major cities, and they always feel like the cardboard cutout where it's like, this wouldn't house actual people, this wouldn't be the size of a city an actual fantasy world would have. In Guild Wars 2, the size and scale of the buildings is just exactly to what you would think it would be if it were a real fantasy world.
Right, right.
Like, I think Divinity's Reach is by far the coolest city. Black Citadel is a neat area with a ton of, like, machinery and steampunk stuff and big black metal war machines. But Divinity's Reach is just colossal and awe-inspiring. It's awe-inspiring. I have not... MMOs have, like, the ability to just, like, to pull you back and say, whoa, this is a big, amazing world I'm in. And
right.
Guild Wars 2 just takes the cake in that area. It's like, this is an awe-inspiring world.
Yeah, I mean, the game itself was just amazing, and it really kind of takes your breath away, and you kind of stand there for the first probably 30 minutes, just really kind of overwhelmed with everything. I know that there was a lot of complaints when the game on the beta weekend that, you know, that it's too complicated, and everyone's like, I don't know what I'm doing, and it's like, okay, well, take time to figure it out.
Those people are just idiots then. Because I can say after, like, 5 minutes of fiddling with it, it's like, okay, this is how my weapons work. Cool. Okay, this is how the adventuring works. We're moving away from questing. This is now adventuring.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's, I don't know.
I mean, this is how the quest givers work, I'll use that to keep it, like, so everyone knows what I'm talking about. The way it works is you walk up to someone and it's like, hello, hero. There are some key interest points here, here, and here. And it marks it on your map. Go
right
there and see what's going on. You go there and you say, Farmer Jim needs you to harvest some apples. Okay, go into the apple field. It's like, oh, wait, there's giant spiders in here.
Right.
And they also add to the quest objective. So you kill the spiders. Then, after you complete the quest and the spiders are killed, you have a chance at fighting a giant boss spider in the apple orchard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
There's a boss in the apple collecting quest.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff you get.
It's really nice to see just kind of, you know, people are saying, well, it's just the same questing model. I mean, yeah, it technically is, but it's hidden so well that you barely notice it.
Like, if it isn't an innovation, it's the step in the correct direction MMOs need to start to take.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with that. It's just, it's something that people, I think, need to understand that, yes, there's going to be some measure of quote-unquote grindiness in the game. I mean, you have 80 levels to progress through. You can do world PvP. You can do structured PvP. All of those give you experience. The structured PvP does not. Let me correct myself.
It gives you all your highest level abilities and lets you have fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, it the game itself is really well kind of cut out. I honestly think this is the first beta where I've ever been in where there wasn't that many bugs.
Like, the only... I found one issue, and that sometimes the audio from the voice-acted sequences will desync from the lips.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, but I honestly tried not to do a lot of my personal story.
Did all of my personal story up to level 20. It was pretty cool.
Oh, okay, well.
And I'm just, this is like a very early human starting area, and it's like you know, in the Old Republic, you get the BioWare choice system.
Yeah.
ArenaNet gives you choices, and they are a bitch.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not spoiling anything because it's really early on, and there'll be hundreds of other things to choose from later on.
Right.
It's just one example. There's a part of the human storyline where there are these bandits, and they're planning an arson in Divinity's Reach, and you go into this little phased-out area, and you're given a choice. Hero, we need you to choose where you want to help. You can either help us save the hospital, or you can help us save the orphanage. Choose which one to go to. We'll send some other people to go help the other place that you don't choose.
Oh, and I'm guessing the other place gets completely ransacked.
Like, just knowing, like, wait, I have to choose between a hospital and an orphanage, and other people will go to the other one? There's no way that won't end well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, again, it's just, it's something that they've done to really hide the questing system really well and kind of make you really feel a part of the world. I mean, I was talking with a couple of buddies of mine, and they're just so stuck in their ways of BioWare's the best thing ever. They made such a good game. And it's just like, okay, like, you know, I try and call them every once in a while and try and convince them that, you know, hey, you know, Guild Wars 2 is not like any other video game or MMO out there. And
like, there's a comic on Pinhercade. I showed you this.
Yeah.
Basically, it goes, Gabriel's talking to his pet cat, and he says, why can't Guild Wars and the Old Republic have combat that's fun like Terra? Why can't the Old Republic and Terra have questing that makes you feel like you're part of an alive world? Why can't Terra and Guild Wars have an amazing story that that makes me feel like I'm a part of the great epic? And then the third battle is like he combines all three of the games into one.
Yeah.
And that's where I think this needs to go.
Well, let's be honest, Terra combat is terrible.
It's a step in the right direction for MMO combat.
No, it's not. No. MMO combat should never be like Street Fighter, in my opinion. No, I'm going to completely disagree with you on that point. If I wanted to play Street Fighter and if I wanted to play a game that forces me to do combos and that kind of crap, I wouldn't be playing an MMO. An MMO should always be about the community, the world, and if there's PvP in there, it should just all be...
Why can't it be about the combat, too?
Because then it takes away from what an MMO technically is. Because an MMO,
I say it does not.
Well, to each his own. I didn't find the combat of Terra fun at all. One, for the incredible server problems that they're still having. And two, it was just really slow and boring. I mean...
Well, it is an Asian MMO.
Yeah, I know. I get that. But, you know, people are trying to compare all these different MMOs to Guild Wars. And, you know, deep down, yeah, they're all the same thing. I get that. I mean, they're all
branches of the same tree. Guild Wars 2 is just is a longer, more beautiful branch.
Well, not only that, it's something that, you know, people are saying, well, Ultima Online had dynamic events, yeah, that were actually scripted and maybe happened once a week. The entire thing of Guild Wars 2 is all that. I mean,
in the human starting zone, the second area you go to, basically all of it is centaurs are running around the map killing everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I did read some feedback that got kind of boring and kind of stale. But, you know, I mean...
Go fight the serpent people in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, you can. But, you know, the human starting area has that Shadow Colossus. There's a video up on Codebox Media's YouTube channel. If you guys want to take a look at that, Shriggs was able to get that footage, luckily.
Yeah, most of the videos I've seen of this boss fight are just the boss, and I got the footage of the event prior to it.
Oh, that okay, cool, very nice.
Like, the way it works is, it starts in the swamp, and you have to kill a bunch of shadow
right
demons and Shadow Demon portals.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you kill enough of those things, it'll open up a new dynamic event, and
right.
the portals will spread out into the starting area, like
uh-huh.
beyond the swamp, and you have to go into those areas and kill more portals and more demons and like eradicate them from their respective areas.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back into the swamp, kill three more big portals, and then the boss fight starts.
That's pretty cool. So it's kind of like the Shadow Behemoth guy is trying to spread his evil corruption fingers all over the world, and you're like, nope, we're going to continue back over to here.
Now, I wonder what happens if you don't beat him.
That's actually a really good point. It was,
like,
it was,
what I understand is there's a one similar mechanic in another zone where
uh-huh.
they've shown at beta events and, like, conventions.
Yeah.
And, like, the boss is always this dragon called Tequaddle, and he summons zombies from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't kill him, they spread out and destroy outposts and villages and quest hubs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'm wondering if something similar to that happens. Like,
yeah.
they start fighting centaurs and stuff.
Yeah, some of the dynamic events that we've seen through, you know, like PAX and certain press release videos and stuff are just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure if you saw the one with the dragon coming out of the ocean.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He comes out of the ocean, literally he jumps out of the ocean, jumps onto this large mountain, and does some cool roaring and stuff, and then he jumps onto the beach, and then you proceed to try and stop his pushing with these cannons and all these other Asuri weapons and stuff that
yeah,
they have
really
around.
Cool.
It's just DVD. And all this actually leads up to you actually building the cannons and getting all the supplies ready and actually knowing that this is coming. And it's just like, okay, there's no game that does that. There's no game that really actively makes you involved into the world to try and actually do something to it. It's all just, hey, my, you know, a quest that I kind of example to is in Star Wars. I mean, since that's like everyone's big new favorite MMO and everyone's, you know, being BioWare's little money, whatever you want to call it, and
uh-huh.
is on the starting planet Droman Kos, where this one Sith Lord is like, I'm going to go poison the water supply. And then he's like, no, don't do it. And you have the option to either, you know, poison it slowly or kill him off really quickly. And no matter what you choose, the NPCs are just standing there doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, after playing Guild Wars, I can't play any other MMO. I find everything to be even more boring. And just because you're like, cause, you know, like with WoW, honestly, I didn't read half the quest text in Star Wars. I just kind of was like, click, 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 okay, I'm going to do the quest. Blah, blah, blah. You know, the only really story I cared about was my character's personal story. And even that got boring and tedious. Just kind of, in the end, you're like, well, that was the dumbest thing I've ever played.
Honestly, that's how I felt about it, too, later. Like, by level 30, I was just skipping through all of the
yeah, it was just boring.
General quests and just sticking with my own story.
I don't get it. You know, the guild I used to be a part of is just, like, so gung-ho about Star Wars, and I'm like, why? It was terrible. I'm like, no, it's not so good. And I'm like, we rolled through the content so quickly. How can you say that they actually gave us good content? And they're like, you're just being super overcritical. I'm like, no, I expected the game to be awesome because BioWare is doing it, and they gave us a half-assed game on release, and then they took almost 6 months to release what they should have released when the game was actually released. And even that content is a joke and terrible. I mean, cool, a movable UI, yay. How about you actually fix the game and, you know, make it seem like an actual story rather than a Mass Effect 3 with some multiplayer aspects? I mean, that's essentially what Star Wars is, and everyone's like, oh, Guild Wars 2 is stupid. And one of my friend's main reasons is because he doesn't like microtransactions. And I was just like, okay, you know what? He's obviously just one of those fanboys that's too stupid and too ignorant to actually do research on the game and actually look what the microtransactions are. Because
we looked at the microtransactions, and they actually seem really cool.
Yeah.
There's this one we saw that was an XP booster, and it's like, it's called Killstreak, and what it does is for 30 seconds, your XP gain is increased by 100%, And every time you get a kill...
No, it was 150. It was something, like, ridiculous.
Okay, yeah. Something ridiculous. And every time you get a kill, it resets the timer. Mm-hmm. So as long as you keep killing stuff, you can have perpetual increased XP gain.
Yeah. Or if you wanted, like, an hour XP boost at 100%. My extra XP. Or I think it was 50. What was it? Was it 100?
I think it was 50 and 100.
So, something like that. And, you know, you can just do that. And, you know, it's who cares? It's an XP boost. Because if you want to do PvP, guess what? Structured PvP is all the same. It's not like Tor's little stupid crap where it's like, yeah, they have a system that boosts you. Okay, cool. Well, it doesn't matter because the level 50 guy that has all the good gear is still going to kick my ass. No, everyone starts out with the same gear, with the same everything. If I remember correctly, I didn't see really how any of the other PvP gear actually works, except for there was...
In World versus World, there are PvP vendors with, like, hundreds of sets of armor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get those through doing stuff in World versus World.
Now, is that through... What's the currency? Is that did you get that through the glory currency?
I believe so.
Okay, because in structured PvP, it sounds like everyone always has the same gear.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you saw? Like no one.
Yeah,
has...
from what I saw, everyone had the same gear. However, it might change the gear. Like aesthetic might change if you are wearing World versus World gear.
Well,
that might affect it. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean
that's what I would like to see.
I've kind of been wondering that a little bit, with because you know I mean I'm a huge PvP guy and Guild Wars is all about the PvP. I mean yeah they're gonna have end game content but it's not gonna be like you know tank and spank and that kind of stuff. Which honestly I you know as someone who is a veteran MMO person I enjoy that aspect of PvP. World of Warcraft's PvP has always been pretty good up until Wrath. Wrath pretty much killed their entire content list. It was just all the big joke. But, you know, up until, you know, Vanilla and then the Burning Crusade, they had probably some of the best PvP content out there. And I liked it because it was challenging. It was, you know, you really had to focus and make sure to get people to actually do things. And, you know, now they've pretty much dumbed down the entire content and was like, hey, 10-man mode, here you go, lulz. And, you know, hey, I get the 10-man modes are cool. I mean, I was in a 10-man guild for a while, but even the heroic stuff on 10-man was not as difficult as some of the 40-man raids were way back when.
Yeah, like, and one thing I hate hearing from people is that they complain that, well, if you go into World vs. World and you're boosting in level 1, it'll be really hard for people to learn all the new abilities they get. Yeah, and it just infuriates me because I have to tell them you only get 10 abilities at a time. All they need to do is take 10 minutes to look through abilities and pick out some cool ones they want to try out. That's all they do.
Yeah, I mean, Guild Wars pretty much goes back to the whole premise of, guess what? We're not going to tell you how to do anything. You get to figure this out, and it's going to be difficult, so here you go. In Arena themselves, I have seen them answer those posts in the most professional and polite way, but essentially they're saying, you stupid noob, learn to play. I mean, seriously. I really wish I still had that quote. Maybe I do. Shrieks, did I send you that quote via Skype?
I don't believe so. Let me check.
I'm checking myself, because if I did, I want to read that.
Well, anyway, it's like, here's my experience with getting all of those abilities in PvP. I started, like, initially, it gives you 10 abilities, without you having to look at it, 10 really good abilities.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I'll just do these for now, and then later, you can move on to other stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's something that I think people are going to have to kind of get to understand again, because the game is not there to cater to you. It's not like, honestly, guys, if you are from World of Warcraft and you expect everything to be handed to you, do not play this. Do not play this game, because I don't want you ruining something that's going to be awesome. Yes, it's going to be free to play. And that doesn't mean you're entitled to everything because, one, you're not paying for a monthly subscription. Two, you paid for a single – you paid the same price as a single-player game, and I can guarantee you the people that are going to play – that are going to complain the most are people that do not do any microtransactions and do not actually support Arena at all. And they're going to be pissed because other people have the extra character slots unlocked. You start with 5. That should be plenty for everybody to do. If you want to buy the extra 3 so you can have one of each class, go ahead. It's probably like $15 or
– Here's my plan for that. I'm going to make 4 characters of classes I really enjoy, level those up, and I'll save the last slot for making a new character for whatever I want to try something different in PvP.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and I've had people complain about the XP boost, and I'm like, that's not hurting you in any way. They're like, well, it's going to hurt in PvP. I'm like, no, it's not, because everyone's level 80 in structured PvP. Well, what about World versus World? Okay, you're fighting against 2 other servers. One person or 2 people, hell, 10 people at level max level aren't going to make crap bit of difference.
If you see the video I put out for World vs. World, I was just in a conglomerate of people everywhere around me.
Yeah.
A couple of high levels, it will make a difference in 1v1, but in that kind of big, massive group?
It's not good. No, it's not going to make a large lick of difference. I mean, I didn't do enough PvE content to really see how the abilities scaled up, Shrig, since you did a lot. Did the abilities pretty much just scale up with each level, or did they a lot of their damage kind of stay the same?
Their damage kind of stayed the same.
Interesting.
Like the difference in level in World versus World will be determined by your skill points.
Yeah. No, I'm. Excuse me, I'm talking about, like, your abilities. Say, your turret.
Like in PvE?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really matter, because if you go into a lower level zone, you're sidekick down a level. And it's,
right.
Like, yes, there is the extra damage from all your skill points and all
okay.
that stuff.
Okay.
But it's not... But if you try to pull, like, 10 things at once, you will die horribly.
Yeah, I mean,
the big thing is your HP is brought down.
Mm-hmm.
So, like... So like, say I'm level 20 and I have 2,000 HP, it'll bring me down to 800 if I go into the starter zone.
Oh, okay then. Interesting. All right, so, excuse me. Let's see what else. The last thing I kind of want to cover just briefly is just kind of our dislikes. And, I mean, there's a couple things that I wish that was a little bit more refined, but I think that's a lot of that just has to do with beta and them actually, you know, making the game to what it needs to be. Shrigs, what are some of the things that you kind of saw that were annoyances, something that you didn't really like, or something that you did that you didn't really enjoy doing?
One thing is, like, in the Shadow Behemoth encounter, prior to that, all it gives you is the swamp lies dormant, and you have no idea how long you have to wait until the Shadow Behemoth event comes up. So if they were like, they put in, even if it's in the world, some like an NPC that says, something's starting to rumble beneath the swamp.
Uh-huh.
Anything like that to let you know, okay, it's going to be a while, it's going to take a lot more killing to bring this thing out.
Okay. So basically, you want a little bit more kind of, maybe a dynamic event queue, kind of something that happens that...
And one other thing is, at the end of the human starting zone, there's this area, it's like called Beetle Run, and it's constantly being attacked by centaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And like one thing you do is you save like a crop field and push the centaurs back, and you can steal their outpost, and it'll become populated with humans, and then after you do that, you push them back even further and stake another outpost and destroy all the weapon caches.
Oh, wow.
At that point, every, like, 3 to 5 minutes, the centaurs will come by and try to take it back. And then they'll head back to the outpost you just took.
Huh.
That was way too short. I felt like maybe a 10 or 20 minute interval for them to come in and try to take stuff back would be better, because I was in there fighting them for so long. It's like, when are they going to stop? When can I go to something else? I want to kind of hold this area, but I want to go somewhere else, too.
Okay, so you felt that some of the events were kind of too short, and they happened too often.
Like, the time in between events for some events was too short. Like, mm-hmm. Shadow Behemoth event, it took forever to get that thing going again.
Yeah, well, you know, I think with events like that, I think a long time and just people being lucky and getting it, I think is a good thing.
From the smaller events, it's a little too short.
Yeah. I mean, in the Charizarding area, there was a Char Shaman that spawned in this cave. Gosh, that was just... That was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. It was just... at least for a melee class, you would get in there, I would dodge a couple attacks, and then I would instantly just get one-shotted. Because he has a fire shield, and, you know, with the game being its art style and the way it is, it's really, like, the game is very pretty. I had everything on low settings just because it wasn't optimized correctly, and it was really nice to see a game that had a lot of really nice visual effects, but I just had a lot of trouble seeing what was going on, as a melee class, at least.
That's a complaint I've heard from a lot of people, that it was, like, when a bunch of people get together, it's just, you can't see past all the fire and arcane and
yeah,
water.
It's just kind of a cluster screw.
I actually have a good video showing that problem in the end of the beta event, where they spawned all these, like, critters in one of the Norn areas. Then they were all elites and high levels and had crazy abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were in this one Norn outpost, and we had there's like 50 people around me, and they're all shooting at one target, and it's just a total clusterfuck of rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got that. Man, hiccup's always at the wrong time, I swear. I guess that that's something that Arena is working on, because in their beta forums, they did address the issues. They did say that they know that the melee classes and the PvE situations really get kind of hurt, especially the thief, and especially the thief, really. I mean, the thief is a squishy class, but, you know, the guardian and the warrior.
Quick question.
Have
you ever tried dagger and pistol, or dagger and short bow?
Short bow counts as both weapons.
Oh, okay. Well, what about pistol?
Pistols were, I'll kind of touch on this briefly, but pistols really were fun, but it really kind of felt really boring, because you only had a couple really good abilities, and unload was really your only good, like, main ability to do a lot of damage, which, you know, it was really good in the PvP aspect, because you were able to chase targets that really kind of tried to flee away from you.
Yeah, like there's like a blink ability with it, or shadow step.
Yeah. I mean, that part was really nice. But in the PvE aspect, I felt that I was more effective with a short bow, because, one, I wasn't being targeted by everything in their sister, and two, I was able to stay at range and actually do some damage and not be dead, you know, 90%
of the
fight.
Yeah, but did you ever have the short bow equipped to your second weapon slot?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you practice with switching in and out of the daggers and short bow.
Yeah, I did most of my weapon switching in PvP to really try and use that to its maximum.
I think, because for the thief class, that would be kind of...
Well,
necessary in PvE and PvP.
Well, it will be once melee classes don't instantly die. Because, seriously, it was really hard to tell when the shaman had its fire shield up. I you know, again, this is just me being a customizable person. I do hope that they move, they allow a movable UI and just kind of a scalable UI like they did in Guild Wars 1. Which they will. I mean, eventually that'll be there. It took them I didn't play Guild Wars 1 from the start, so I apologize if this is wrong. But I think it actually took them about a year to actually get a movable UI into the game. It might have been there on day one launch. I don't honestly remember. But I just remember playing Guild Wars 1 and not being able to jump or fall down cliffs, and that annoyed the hell out of me, and I couldn't play it. I was like, this game is weird. And everyone's like, oh, but the story's so great. I'm like, that's nice. I'm not a story person.
The story was pretty cool.
I think I got about halfway through the first Guild Wars. And I have the other expansions. I have not beaten them. Everyone's telling me to. But after playing it, it's really hard to go back to not being able to jump, having really bad pathing, and just having a really weird game system. And Guild Wars 1 was never one of my favorite games. I mean, it was really cool, but I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, the weapon swapping will be something that everyone's going to have to really get used to. I know the Elementalist can't weapon swap. The Engineer is not able to weapon swap as well. And people were complaining about that because it's like, oh, it's not fair. The reason that ArenaNet did this, they even stated this in another post. This is why I love ArenaNet, is because they will sit down with their fans and say, okay, this is why we did this. You guys need to kind of chill out. Remember, you guys did only play the game for 3 days, so you haven't learned everything. They actually said that in a post regarding the Thief and people saying, oh, the Thief is overpowered. It's not fair. And ArenaNet pretty much just said, Stop whining.
Yeah.
learn to play.
Hang on.
Let me finish. And the Elementalist and the Engineer are not able to swap weapons because of their so many massive amount of skills and utility spells that are actually have at their disposal. Shrix, I'll let you touch on the Engineer in just a second. But the Elementalist, I play the Thief and the Elementalist mostly. But the Elementalist has so many skills it can go over. Holy crap. You have your 5 actual other spells that you can pick from, that you can customize all those. And then, depending on what weapon set you have 5 other ones. And then you can swap between elements, which are 4 extra elements, and plus you get 5 ones for those. So that's 25 spells for just one type of weapon set that you have. And then you have another 5 that you can customize, which is your heal and your elite skill. So that's 30 spells for just one weapon set. Multiply that by however many weapon sets the Elementalist has once it actually hits beta. That would be like over 90 to 100 different spells that you could choose from and swap from. That would be ridiculous. And so that's why they didn't want to balance it for one. And it really would be that actually pretty overpowered. But Triggs, touch on the Engineer just a little bit there.
Okay, the difference between the Elementalist and the Engineer is that the Elementalist has the 4 elemental spec or stances he can be in. The Engineer uses bundles, which are these big tanks he puts on his back. One is a flamethrower, one's a chemical gun, and he can also have put down mines or throw grenades and stuff. But the thing is, the one thing people wanted to switch to was from one of their damage weapons to a pistol and shield.
Yeah,
Because with the bundles, you didn't really get any defensive abilities. With the pistol and shield, you got two shield abilities, which could reflect physical and ranged attacks. And those were useful at certain times. It was really cool going in with the shield because I would put up an electromagnetic field which would protect me and by associating other people that I was in front of.
Right, of course. Okay, so...
And I understand what they're saying about the bundles because that's a lot of abilities to learn and it's kind of OP. But even with the weapon swapping and... Let's see here. Two for weapons. Then you can have 3 bundles, which is chemical gun, grenade kit, and... something else. So that's 5 things. And the mage would have 4 things.
Mm-hmm.
But,
So, I mean, it sounds like for PvP, you're really, really better. You're really best suited for a more of a defensive type of class. Is that something that you would agree to? Because it's from what I've seen and just kind of facing some engineers in PvP, I didn't see a lot of them because I think people didn't understand their class very well.
Yeah, the big thing about the Engineer is that they can hold their fucking ground. They can
can. No, I mean, I faced a couple engineers that really did a good job at kiting me, but one thing that I think that maybe the engineers might need to kind of understand is that they're, you know, certain classes are not all going to be like the Thief. They're not always all going to be a 1-versus-1 badass. And I think a lot of people are kind of really spoiled from that, from WoW, because a lot of the classes in World of Warcraft can just go 1-on-1, except for the Rogue, because they got hurt to hell. But, I mean, yeah, I think that maybe allowing the Engineer to maybe weapon swap to one extra set to maybe go a little bit extra defensive or a little bit extra offensive when needs to it might be not the terriblest idea. But again, I mean, we only played the game for 3 days, so it's not like.
But from what I understand, is if they like from the way I played, I would only have one bundle in my abilities list at a time. The other two would be utility skills.
Okay.
So in reality, what some people are probably doing is they'll have a weapon and one bundle that's 10 skills, and the mage constantly has those four different sets of abilities they can choose from.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, well, with the engineer, I think it's a little more fair and viable to give him a weapon set, because not everyone's going to have, like, all their bundles on the bar.
Right, okay, so the bundles are not treated like the elementalist attunements. They're not the F1 through 4 skills.
Yeah, no, they aren't.
And oh, it would be okay, nicer I did not know that.
Yeah, it'd be nicer if you could, if they could at least make it easier to switch into a bundle.
Okay, okay. Now, you know, I'm pretty sure that ArenaNet will probably look at that because, again, just from what I saw, the engineer was more of a defensive and strategic kind of class than a, I'm just going to go out and place my turret and place my mines and go laws, blah.
Like, one thing you could do is, like, with the engineer, you can put on a flamethrower and put down a wall of fire, front of all of your allies, like all your ranged allies, and then all the arrows and bullets they shoot will catch on fire and have a fire buff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But speaking of the F1 through 4 skills, bundles do have a F1 through 4 utility ability.
Okay.
I forget what they do. I think if you don't have them equipped, you might be able to equip them with the F1 through 4, but I forget, and I think it was actually an actual ability, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, you know, it's just, it's something that...
I'll have to look at it again when we get in on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, again, guys, if you guys have pre-purchased the game, Stress Test Monday starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm not going to be getting much sleep that day, but that's okay. Huh?
The last two.
What last two?
Does it end on Monday night?
It goes for 7 hours, so it goes from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern Standard Time. Which will be interesting. So, anyway, moving on from Guild Wars, I want to talk a little bit about a couple articles that we did receive from Joystick. One is Diablo 3 is Amazon's most purchased title, pre-ordered title ever to exist, which kind of shocks me, honestly. I mean, I think you and me... Overall, beta impression was when they did the open beta was we weren't really that impressed.
It was pretty good, but you know.
It was really good.
It was good, well put together game, not groundbreaking.
No, I mean, you know, it had a lot of the StarCraft engine to it. It had a lot of the just kind of. Overall, it had a really kind of StarCrafty feel to it. I'm not sure if you felt that same way, but the game, I just was not impressed. For something that has had, gosh, what, almost 6-7 years in the making and getting put off and not like, you know, it got pushed back so many times. For something that did that, I just was not impressed at all. I mean, for one, there's no land support. And, I mean, that's really what made Diablo 2 fun. That's really kind of what really made, I think, the Diablo, the StarCraft, and the Warcraft series just that much more enjoyable. It was because you could go over to a buddy's house and say, hey, who wants to play this for an hour or two, and then we can go see a movie or something or go out to eat or something. No, everyone has to be connected, and no one interacts with each other anymore. The voice acting was terrible. I could not get over any of the voices. They were just, it was so bad. I mean, my monk sounded like some old guy or some young guy trying to impersonate an old guy voice. He's like, my days, I'm just like, really? Come on. I mean, I'm not sure if Blizzard was intentionally trying to be cheesy. But that really pulled me out of the story. That was just really distracting every time to hear the characters. Some of the characters talk were just terrible. Act 1 was literally, I beat it in an hour and 20 minutes, and there's only three acts to the game, so that really worried me. I'm very concerned at the length of the single player in this game. PvP is going to be completely screwed up because Blizzard, everyone knows Blizzard can't balance PvP worth crap. Just look what happened with World of Warcraft. I mean, that was really one of my main draws for PvP, and then they announced that, oh, we're not going to have it. And I'm just like, okay, so they're obviously not taking their time with this game. They're obviously not really putting a lot of development time into it and stuff. I mean, people can argue that, yeah, you know, it's been so many years, so it's a lot of development time. No, for what I played, for what I've seen, and I just, Shriggs, maybe I'm being overcritical, but the game just does not seem like something that...
You are.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's
it's
just...
not the bad to the level you're thinking. I did not have an issue with the voice acting.
Well, okay, maybe I'm just picky. But, I mean, for something that has been pushed back, it didn't feel that they took their time with it. I don't know. I was really disappointed with me being a very big Diablo fan playing that as a kid. I think the main thing that disappointed me was that there was no LAN support, and it didn't feel like a Diablo game. It was really easy. Even on the whatever the mode they call it now, the hardcore mode or whatever, it didn't feel challenging enough to be a Diablo game. I just remember playing Diablo and screaming at my computer because I couldn't beat this one boss or something.
Mm-hmm. And, now, in Diablo 3, there is an I win button, and I'll tell you what it is.
Yes.
The Witch Doctor has an ability to throw a vase, and in that vase there are three spiders. And those spiders spawn, and they attack whatever's in the area. And you can perpetually hit that button and throw tons of vases, and it'll end up with 50 spiders on the screen.
Oh.
Yeah, they last for about, 5-7 seconds, and they'll despawn after that, but until then, you can have perpetual spiders attacking everything and tanking for you.
That's cool.
And in most situations, it'll work. For bigger, heavier creatures, that's not gonna work. Or when the number of enemies on the screen is about half of what the spiders you're throwing at them are. That's gonna screw you up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I was just overall just disappointed with the game. But, you know, hey, that's cool that Blizzard has a lot of pre-orders on Amazon. So congrats to them. I mean, I really do hope that the game does well, but I'm not going to buy it day one. I'm going to wait for it to come down in price and then probably buy it. So anyway, moving on. This is for you, Shriggs. The first Awesomenauts DLC teased update coming as well.
Where is it? Huh?
Okay, calm down. It's on joystick.com. I will read the article. Given the state of the franchise of Awesomenauts, publisher DTP, the fate of the game's promised downloadable content is somewhat blah blah blah. Okay, this article isn't giving me any information.
Ooh. Oh, I know this chick. They accidentally released her on the site a while ago. We were talking about it on the forums.
Oh, that it was a misrelease?
Yeah. Yeah, they, on the front page of the Awesomenauts website, mm-hmm. there's, at the bottom of it, there's a list of all the Awesomenauts and characteristics and abilities. One day, while it was still in, beta, and they were still making it, someone accidentally put up the next two Awesomenauts, and some people saw it.
Oh. Whoops.
All right. And they took it down, 30 minutes later. It's like, oh, shit, that was supposed to happen.
Nice. So, I mean, Shriggs is a big fan of Awesomenauts, and Awesomenauts is pretty much a 2D style MOBA, which is I hate that stupid phrase. It's not a good fit.
MOBA.
It should be arena style. It should be single player arena competitive combat or something. So something that actually makes sense because that's what it is.
Multiplayer online battle arena? Does it make
sense? Something like that, but MOBA just doesn't make any... MOBA.
That's what MOBA is.
I don't know. I just...
Multiplayer online battle arena. MOBA.
Yeah, I know, but it's just... Everything kind of gets lumped into there if they don't have a category. It's like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's a MOBA. And
if it has creeps, it's a MOBA.
Yeah, exactly. So...
defining characteristic of this.
I mean, if you're a fan of Dota, I would honestly check out this game. It looks amazing.
It is amazing, and I will say this. One, it's fun as hell, and unless you're really tired and cranky, you won't get mad from dying too much. And two, the leaderboards are kind of fucked right now.
Why?
Because right now, the second place person on the leaderboards is some guy with 0.43% win-loss ratio, and he has 65,000 games won. Or played.
65,000 games played.
Yes. The person who's competing with him for top has like 353 games played.
65,000. That's not even possible.
I don't... It may be one of the developers' accounts who started playing it again, who's been playing the game since they started developing it, so it has every single playtest game on there listed.
Still.
That's what I think it is.
Well, that could be true, which is actually kind of funny. 65,000 games
played. Yeah, and for some reason, I had a few bad games the other night, and I went from rank 1,000, which is in the top 3%, to rank 33,000. Like, what the fuck? I was competing for the top couple hundred spots. How'd I go back so far?
Well, you have to remember, I think that the more and more people play this game, the more and more the...
Yeah, but I'm like, I did the math. I have like a total of 753 kills and 290 kills. I have a 2.5 kill-death ratio. I have a 55% win-loss ratio. And all the people surrounding me have like 20% win-loss ratios, and they just flat out suck.
Well, yes,
you
have to remember, the ladders are not going to fluctuate and actually come to a mathematical standstill until the game's been out for probably 6 months.
I'm playing until I get my top 3% back.
I mean, honestly, if I had a PlayStation 3, I would definitely purchase this game, because it's, what, only 20 bucks?
10.
It's only 10 bucks, and it looks really fun. I'm really hoping they release this onto the PC and I can play with you guys.
I believe they're working on it.
Because, I mean, just the only thing that I think that they should force people to use on the PC is a gamepad. Or some type of a controller, because I don't think the mouse would be the best thing for that type of game. Because,
well, actually, the way it works is it's all analog. Like, there's no variation in speed depending on how far you move the joystick, and there's only three directions you can look up and down. It's like looking forward, aiming up, aiming down.
Well, that's good, but yeah,
so it would be difficult for the mouse to work.
Awesome Knots DLC is coming out soon, guys, so kind of get ready for that. I'm not sure how much it's going to be or not.
It's gonna be cheap.
Well, the one thing that does kind of scare me, though, is that I hope they don't go in the League of Legends route, where they always release an overpowered champion, and then they wait a week, and then they nerf it.
Okay, let me put that fear to rest. This game was supposed to come out November of last year. They pushed it back to February, then they pushed it back again to this month.
What's that have to do with?
They will take their damn time until everything is balanced.
Well, yes, that's what League of Legends originally was going to do as well. But what happened, and, you know, again, I'm not saying that this is what they're doing.
Well, here's the thing. There's
Right. The thing that League of Legends did is they realized that people buy the overpowered champions when they first release them. They wait a week, and then they nerf the crap out of them so no one else buys them again. That's their business model, which really sucks, and that's why the game is incredibly unbalanced, because Riot is, one, just retarded and has no idea how to actually balance the game. I'm not even sure why it's considered a freaking esport.
Mm. Well, yeah. As of now, there are 6 Awesome Knots.
Well, that's cool. I mean, so, I really hope that Awesome Knots does well, because it looks amazing. And I hope that they keep the hero count on a small level, because, I mean, you can either do it right, like the way Dota does, and balance everything to pretty much perfection, or you can do it wrong, like League of Legends does, and release a new hero every 2 weeks. And eventually they're going to just have like 1,000-some heroes, and no one's going to know how to balance it, because everything's just ridiculous. So I think that Awesome Knots is probably going to cater towards the size more of Dota, because from what I've seen gameplay footage-wise and just kind of some videos that I've been watching, is the overall gameplay is pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of really neat mechanics, and the game seems pretty balanced for the most part. So
it really is. You can play any awesome knot and do pretty well against everyone else.
That's good. That's good. And
it all depends on how well you can play it.
See, and that's the way competitive games should be in the first place. I mean, let's be honest here. But, yeah, so for those of you guys who are Awesome Knots fans, the DLC is coming out soon. Stay tuned. Just kind of make sure to follow that a little bit there. The last piece of news I want to get to is Blizzard and Valve settle the Dota argument. Blizzard Dota is now Blizzard All-Stars, which is still a crappy title. For those of you who are probably wondering, like, who the crap cares, Blizzard was trying to sue Valve over saying Dota was, Dota 2 is copyright infringement, blah, blah, blah. Basically, what happened is Blizzard thought they had the rights to Dota because it was in the Warcraft 3 game, which Blizzard had no help in making the game, no help in coding the game, no help in doing anything. And everyone's like, well, it's coded in their engine. Yeah, but half the stuff, or more than half the stuff, was all Java coding, which Ice Frog and the original developer, I can't remember his name, the guy that founded Riot Games, actually did. Ice Frog took over Defense once. The original creator said, I'm not going to do this anymore. We have a new developer. And blah, blah, blah. Ice Frog pretty much took the entire engine, recoded it himself in Java, and everything works completely differently. So now, you know, Valve was like, hey, this is a cool idea. Why don't you come work for us? And he's like, okay, cool. Let's call it Dota 2. And Blizzard's like, wait, why? You can't do that because it's on our game. And everyone on the internet's like, Blizzard, stop being retarded. So, Blizzard, if you guys actually have watched the panel, I think it is the Heart of the Swarm panel, where they also talk about their Blizzard Dota, which was a horrible title to begin with. They pretty much go to the level of a two-year-old throwing a tantrum and making fun of Ice Frog himself. They actually attack Ice Frog himself a couple times. They completely bash the Dota 2 community a couple times. They make fun of Dota 2 in general, and they're saying all these things that just, like, make you scratch your head and go, what the crap? Are you guys retarded? At one point, they're like, we feel boots are stupid, so we're going to add mounts instead. And I was just like, oh, geez. So, essentially, they're replacing the boot mechanic with the exact same thing, but calling it mounts, because they're Blizzard, and apparently mounts are the cool thing. So, yeah, Blizzard, you guys are retarded. You guys need to learn how to actually do stuff. But thankfully, Valve won. Blizzard was forced to change their name to Blizzard All-Stars, which is still a stupid name. I mean, it fits their game a little bit better, because that's what it is. I mean, Siege Creeps for the Towers, really? How stupid is that? Oh my gosh. So, yeah, there's that. Shriggs, I don't think you care about this article at all, do you?
I'm not a big Dota player. Although, yeah. That Awesome Nuts is different enough that I can say I'm not a big Dota player.
No, I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, Dota is a 3D satellite down, top-down view of the battle, where Awesome
Nuts... I just can't get the hang of that.
No. I mean, it's
action setting.
The learning cap of Dota is just ridiculous, and it's really hard to get into, and anyone who says Dota is just not my game, I completely understand, because it's a very overwhelming game to get into.
Well, oh, funny story.
Yes.
The other night, I was playing Awesome Knots, and I got into a game, and there were two other guys with me. Both had microphones. One was 13 years old, and the other was 22 years old. Guess how they were behaving with each other?
Like retards?
No, they were being completely friendly, and they were helping each other play the game, and they just talked about how much they loved the game and how great it was playing together.
Well, that's good. So, well, one, you're not on Xbox Live, and two, you're not playing Halo. You got to keep that in
sure.
mind, too.
It's the same thing. Call of Duty exists over here, and those same 13-year-olds exist over here.
Yeah, but you have to remember, most of them are on the Xbox, because the PlayStation...
But it's crazy. It blew my mind. It's like, wait a minute, these two people shouldn't be having fun and playing together. They should be at each other's throats, telling each other to suck, because they were losing the game. They were losing. They sucked pretty hard, but...
Yeah, you know, you kind of find a rare occurrence every once in a while.
Yeah.
So, cool. Congrats on them. Would be awesome. The next thing I want to go over is Tribes, a little Tribes Ascend. Shriggs, I know you and me play this quite a lot. The game itself is awesome. I mean, it really kind of goes back to the old school roots of Tribes. It really goes back to, you know, just super teamwork. But you and me, I mean, we experienced a crappy night last night.
Oh, yeah.
I lost, before Shriggs joined me, I lost 3 games in a row, and it was horrible. Then Shriggs came in, we played another 2 games, and we lost both those games, and I was just like, dude, I'm done. I'm done. the overall experience of Tribes is still a really fun, but I think that right now they need to be careful to stop adding new guns and crap to the game, because a lot of the guns are not balanced and incredibly overpowered. There's the plasma rifle and the jackal. Those 2 guns are just stupid and should not have been added into the game. The jackal is a quote-unquote sticky grenade launcher. Yeah, that sounds about as overpowered as you think it is. Apparently, it can one-shot a generator no matter how many upgrades you have on it, which I think is just incredibly stupid.
From what I've heard, if you upgrade it, it takes a while for that to still kill it.
See, my experience is that I've had a level 4 generator just get one shot.
Are you sure?
Maybe it was more than one, but I just remember defending it, dying, and the generator died. So, I mean, it's annoying because I used to play Tribes a lot when I was a kid. Like, a lot. And, I mean, I participated in tournaments, did a lot of high-level play, so... The class system, I think, is what kind of screws over the game right now. It's not a bad class system, don't get me wrong. It's not a horrible class system. But I think that maybe it should have been just staying with its original roots of heavy, light, and medium, and just kind of done it that way. And each class has, you know, 3 different weapon sets they can choose from instead of having the class system. Because a lot of people are playing the Sentinel, which is the quote-unquote recon/sniper class, like they would in Call of Duty. They just camp and try and shoot people, and their main role as a Sentinel is to use the claymores to defend the flag, use the radar jammer to make sure the enemy cannot see how many people are defending the flag or the generator room, and use the sniper rifle to just pick off the flag carrier when they steal your flag. That's the entire Sentinel's role, and I hate going into games when there's like 4 people being a Sentinel, so I'm just like, oh crap, well that's not going to work.
And they weren't that good, because I'm pretty sure I killed the flag carrier more times than those douchebags.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. And then, you know, you have the Juggernaut, which is the quote-unquote the original heavy class, and he's good, but I feel that I die so quickly. I don't know why. I mean, I have a huge health pool, but I'm able to, that jackal gun literally one-shots me. And I'm like, okay, cool. That was fair. Why they actually added stealth classes into this game was just beyond me. I don't understand that at all. I understand it's more of a tactical thing, and they're easily countered by the motion sensors that you can deploy. But... overall, the game's really fun, and I really enjoy it. But it's frustrating when they add new weapons and stuff. You're like, ah, crap. The people that actually spend money on this game are going to buy it and just be incredibly overpowered until they're nerfed. And I think the last thing that kind of annoys me is the actual what the hell? Help me out, Shrage. What am I trying to say? I just had it on the tip of my tongue too. I don't remember what it was now. That sucks. Anyway, that wasn't what... whatever. I don't remember now. Shregs, you have not helped me at all. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you guys want to play Tribes Ascend with us, add us on the actual game. It's just our name, Shregs and Bezio. It's very easy to find us. I usually play quite a lot. I usually just play that in Dota. I mean, Shregs, what else have you been playing this week? I mean, it's not a lot. Like, I feel that we kind of play the same games over and over, so it's kind of boring to rehash that every all the time.
Well, I've been just playing a lot of Awesome Knots, being the best laser monkey in Russia.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's good. Nice. You don't give me anything else to go off of. It's just the laser monkey thing.
More Bastion.
Oh, okay, cool. How's that? Have you beaten the game yet?
No, I've been just... Like, right now, my room is kind of okay. Like, earlier today, it was really hard to walk around. So I had to move a bunch of bags and art portfolios and shit I've accumulated over 3 years in a room that used to be a garage.
Oh.
Which is now in a room that is a normal-sized room.
Ah.
So it's pretty cramped.
Well, that sounds fun.
Like, I had 3 chairs in here. I don't know how I got them.
I'll take one. I like chairs. Chairs are nice. Anyway, the last kind of thing I want to go over a little bit is the Elder Scrolls Online. Have you read anything about this or seen anything about this, Riggs?
I've heard some of this.
Well, unfortunately, news came out, I think it was, probably 5 days ago or so. It was announced about a week ago, and then 5 days ago, I don't remember, they announced that they are going to go the standard hotkey MMO. And I was like, oh, there goes the death of Elder Scrolls right there. I was actually kind of excited for this when I first heard it, but unfortunately, they're not going to go with the standard first-person view of the sword and the shield and that kind of stuff, which I really think they should have gone with. I'm not sure what their design premise was, and keep in mind, they've been working on this game since, what, I think like 2007 or something just ridiculous. And keep in mind, it's not Bethesda who's doing it either, so... I guess that's why that they're not going to go with the actual model of how you do combat. So it'll be interesting to see how well the game actually does. I personally think it's going to fail and be another Age of Conan type of thing. Shrey, because, I mean, thoughts?
Yeah, from what it sounds like, they're going to up the... it's just going to be Skyrim in an MMO with maybe some different methods to the combat.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that their choice to not actually go the actual Elder Scrolls style combat is going to hurt them in the long run, and I think a lot of fans are going to be disappointed. But again, it'll really kind of depend on how open and how actually, world-like they actually make it. Because if they make it too much like an MMO, then it's not going to feel like an Elder Scrolls game. Because Elder Scrolls has always been those games that is just... You can go literally anywhere. If you want to scale the mountain, you actually have to try and scale the mountain. There's really no end to the game. It's just kind of an open world. You can do whatever you want. So, you know, an MMO has limitations eventually. You know, it's... Like with an example of that is... the Burning Crusade expansion for World of Warcraft. That was a huge expansion. That was their first expansion. It was a huge open world, but it was kind of all in this little spacey kind of floating rock. And eventually, you got to the end, and you could either fly out a little bit farther, and then, you know, you had your invisible walls, and that's kind of understandable because they only, you know, actually modeled so much of the actual world itself. And or you could just jump off and fall to your death, basically. So, I mean, an MMO does have limitations to the world, does really kind of have a set draw distance, if you were, in a set modeling distance. I mean, you can't expect the developers of MMO just to go, okay, well, guys, I want you to infinitely create this path. And just put cool stuff there. So if a player wanted to walk this direction for 6.5 days, they wouldn't ever stop. You can't do that. You can't do that successfully and actually have a server that doesn't lag the hell out. I mean, mm-hmm. Minecraft has the infinite world thingy generator, and you know that actually has to. If you get to a certain point, you don't see anything until the world actually renders itself and generates itself randomly again. And do you know how much that would lag an MMO server if they actually tried to do that? You can't do that. So, you know, I feel that Skyrim is, or I keep calling it Skyrim. I'm sorry. It's the official title is The Elder Scrolls Online. So TECO. So that'd be
Tekko.
Tekko. It'd be Tekko. Do you play Tekko? I play Tekko. Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, I'm worried that it's not going to be as open and as world-like as it should be for an Elder Scrolls game. And I'm also worried that the combat system is going to really kind of screw it over, because the combat system in at least Skyrim I really enjoyed. I know that I didn't enjoy the past Elder Scrolls games because their combat system wasn't as good, but Skyrim's was pretty refined, and I actually found myself enjoying and fighting people, and that usually doesn't happen. I mean, I've bashed Skyrim a lot, but I mean it had a lot of good qualities, but I never understood the hype over it's a game with dragons in it. Whoop-de-doo.
I think they need to take I think people need to start taking notes from Guild Wars 2 about how to do questing.
Well, not only that, yeah. It's just I think people need to take. I mean, even from people like what's the name of the studio? Pitch. Gosh, hang on. I want to make sure I get this right. One second here. Shriggs, go ahead and talk.
Yeah. So, like, with in Skyrim, there were some things that were a little more fluid than others. Like, in the world, there were the dragons that are all flying around. Randomly, a dragon could fly down, and you would have to fight and kill it. It would happen at any time, and it was pretty awesome. Pretty epic, and pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in the actual world with the people and towns, there were complaints where you could save the towns, like, "Oi, killer of New Shire! Thank you for saving us from the dragon."
Right.
5 minutes later, "Hey, what you doing here, person I've never seen before? You better not be up to something sneaky and shifty."
Right.
And that's kind of ridiculous. Like, I just saved you people. Worship me.
Yeah. No. I would definitely agree. And the studio I was thinking of was Pitch Black Games, which we had them on for an interview with their
numbers.
Yeah, Dominus. And, you know, it's games like that, games like, you know, Firefall is trying to do something completely new. Guild Wars is really trying to push the bar as well. And, you know, it's MMOs like that that I think are going to really be big. And it's, you know, like, okay, Secret World looks really, it looks bad.
It looks interesting.
Well, a couple of my buddies over on the clan I'm a part of have gotten into the beta, and they say the graphics are incredibly out of date, and the animations are just really, really unfluid and just don't flow well. It's something that the developers need to understand, that you have to either focus on the game itself or not focus at all. And by that I mean a lot of game companies either focus on one super new mechanic and then just don't care about the rest of the game and make it really crappy. Like Age of Conan. They focus too much on, I think it was their combat system, and even that was terrible and just overly complex and just not good for an MMO.
I thought the point of Age of Conan was naked boobies.
It might have been. I honestly don't know. I that game was just terrible. you know, and we have games like Warhammer Online, which really just kind of was a world of
why
that game was going to be so awesome, and unfortunately, you know, internal problems and blah blah blah, and the game just was released way too early, and a lot of the devs were like, "Why are you releasing the game too early?" Like, everyone couldn't really understand, like, it's not ready. They were told time and time again, it's not ready to be released. Don't release it. And they're like, "Fuck you guys," and then they release it. So, you know, developers need to really kind of step back and say, if we want to make a project, and we want to make a big project, you guys really need to kind of sit down, talk about what what the game needs to be as a whole and start going with small steps and not just kind of jump right into it. And I think that's going to be the problem with Skyrim, is they saw World of Warcraft, you know, being a huge success, and since this has been out since 2000, since this has been working on since 2007, I fear that it's going to mirror World of Warcraft a lot.
Yeah, like actually, this week's comic is going to deal a lot with what World of Warcraft clones have done to people.
I mean, it's just it's ridiculous how people keep trying to copy one model and don't understand that.
They just fail at it.
Well, not only that is if you want people to buy your game, don't try and make it like another game, because one, like for me, example. I'm playing World of Warcraft. I'm playing Cataclysm, and for some reason, I'm going to buy the Panda expansion pack. Why, I wouldn't know, but I'm one of those avid WoW players. And
I have a reason.
Know. What?
In Universe B, Blizzard has called Jack Black in to voice act the leader of the Pandas.
Hey, you want to know what? That would be sweet.
I would pay $15 for 1 month to go in and say, "Hey, Jack Black, what's up?"
Yeah, I honestly would do that too, because Jack Black is awesome, and I think he's a pretty funny actor. Anyway, so hypothetically, let's just kind of have this situation play out here. I'm a really avid WoW person. I run a guild that, you know, is in like the top 10% of good PvE guilds, et cetera, et cetera. We do all this other fun stuff, blah, blah, blah. The expansion comes out. The expansion, you know, we're into the expansion, we're beating it, and then there's no content because, you know, that's Blizzard. Blizzard doesn't know how to release content, and a lot of the stuff is easy and we blow through it. So we're like, okay, well, let's try this other MMO. And the other MMO pretty much completely copies what World of Warcraft does, but adds different classes and races and some PvE content. As someone who has been playing WoW for, you know, 8-some years, what games do you think I'm going to go back to? Do you think I'm going to go back to the game that I've already invested a ton of time into, ton of money into, ton of relationships into, and just a ton of friendships into? Or am I going to start over from day one, level one, and level up pretty much the exact same way? There's really no difference to the game. Like, which game do you think people are going to most go back to? And that's why World of Warcraft has pretty much stood the test of time, is because people say that, oh, this is going to be the new WoW killer. Okay, the new WoW killer, there's no such thing. The only thing that's going to kill WoW is Blizzard themselves. And they've slowly been doing that since Wrath. They've shot themselves in the foot in Wrath. They shot themselves in the other foot in Cataclysm. And I think the Panda expansion is going to be shooting themselves in the chest. Because, let's be honest, it's probably the most stupid thing I've ever heard of in a video game. Pandas. Like, really? This is the best expansion you could come up with, Blizzard. Not a, like, honestly, the Panda class could just be a big patch.
Fun fact, the Pandaren was created as a Christmas gift for one of the artist's families. They put in the Pandaren as a joke for Warcraft 3. Now,
yep.
It's an expansion.
Yep. Yep. That's actually why, when they first released this, I was just like, wow, they're really out of ideas. Okay. They're like, crap, we don't know what to do. Pandas, yeah!
Let's take us to the demon world! There's a demon world! It's our garrison and other people! Take us there!
Well, technically, the Outlands was that.
No, that's Illidan's domain. Sargeras has this whole place with titans.
Well, yeah, there is that. There is that, yes. They could do that. They could do a Emerald Dream expansion and really expand on the relationship between
the races and Azeroth?
No, the relationship between Fury and Stormrage and Miranda Whisperwind. Those two are, you know, lovers, blah blah blah. And it could be a whole expansion to go and find Fury on Whisperwind. Stormrage, because he got lost in the Emerald Dream. That could be a, you know, that could be an expansion. Or
he got lost in there again.
He's still lost. He hasn't actually come back.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
In Cataclysm, in the Hyjal questing area, he's there helping you.
Oh, yeah. That's right. See, I forget about these things because I block out horrible memories.
Still, the Emerald Dream would be a cool place to visit.
No, I mean, it would. That actually was an expansion idea. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's again, like I said, I fear this kind of all going back to what Elder Scrolls Online is going to be. I think it's going to be really modeled to what World of Warcraft was because they started working on it 3 years after WoW was released. And I really fear that that's not going to be good because fans are expecting of fans. I mean, honestly, guys, honestly, you can say you're not, but deep down you're expecting it to be what Skyrim was and what the Oblivion was and et cetera, et cetera.
It's going to be in third person.
Yeah, it's going to be in third person for one.
That's weird. I think it would be cool if it were the first person MMO.
Yeah. That was kind of the whole point of, like, everyone was excited. They're like, okay, cool, this is going to be neat. It's going to be a first person MMO that's never been done before. But no, they're going to try and be the next WoW killer, quote-unquote, and they're going to try and really do what WoW does, and it's not going to be popular. Everyone, they're probably going to have a steady subscriber base of about 100 to probably 500,000 people at the start of the game, and then it's going to slowly diminish. That's what happened with Tor. I mean, Tor's subscriber list is dropping every month because they can't keep players in there because it's pretty much just what WoW is, only with the single-player story aspect. That's all Tor is, guys. That's all it is. Get over it. It's not some groundbreaking blah, blah, blah fourth pillar, that's pretty much what we were promised. That's what I was... unfortunately fell for, and a lot of us fell for. So, like, the game BioWare did a good job at lying to pretty much the entire gaming community and said, hey, yeah, this is going to be a really, really cool game. This is what to expect. And they pretty much made it sound way cooler than it actually was. And a lot of us paid for it, which sucks. And it's something that I don't think I'll ever forgive BioWare for. I mean, they screwed up Mass Effect because... I don't know why they screwed up Mass Effect. I mean, that's like ending the Lord of the Rings with a nuclear bomb, and it's just not making any sense.
Ended it with eagles that completely destroyed the plot.
Huh?
You know, Gandalf flies in on giant eagles to save Frodo and everyone else, and everyone's like, wait, where were these eagles at the beginning? Couldn't they just use those to go to Mount Mordor and skip everything?
Yeah, someone actually did a How It Should Have Ended series on that. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But, you know, I mean, if you read the books, I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan, and I know that there are a lot of plot holes in that series. There's a lot of plot holes in Batman 2. I mean, come on. There's going to be plot holes everywhere. You can't, like, always make a perfect plot. I mean, that's not, I don't even think that's possible, because someone's always going to come up with a way of, well, what about this, or what about that? I mean, yeah, I get that. But the point I was trying to make is Lord of the Rings is such an epic story that you don't actually think about that until, you know, 6 months after all the movies have been out, and you're like, wait, wouldn't that have made sense, or whatever? I mean, yeah, I completely agree. Why don't they just take the eagles and drop it down to the Mount Doom, and, you know, yeah, I get that. But it's – anyway, going back to Skyrim here, it's just – or Skyrim, I keep calling it that. See, I keep calling it that because
Tekko.
It's Tekko, exactly. In my opinion, that was really the only really good Elder Scrolls game. I mean, yes, Oblivion and the other ones were really good, but their combat was just terrible. And I think that Skyrim really kind of made that.
The Elder Scrolls Online. Tesso.
Yeah, Tesso.
Yeah, that's it. My bad.
It's okay. It's just I fear for this game because I feel it's gonna end up being another Tor. And they're gonna add a couple of really cool features and everyone's gonna be like, okay, what next? And they're like, oh crap, we don't have anything, I'm sorry. And you know, that's another thing that really pissed me off about Tor was they weren't expecting people to hit max level and clear through their retarded content that quickly.
They don't know us very well, do they?
No, I'm like, have you met the really good WoW guilds and stuff like that? Like, have you met good people that know how to coordinate and not just screw around? I mean, The only reason that half the guilds didn't progress through Nightmare as fast is because there were so many effing bugs in that thing. Like, with the game being released and the game being in beta for, gosh, almost a year and a half, why were those bugs still in that game? I mean, they're still there, for crying out loud. Some of the endgame content still has bugs in the original PvE stuff, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? Come on! So I fear that that's what the Elder Scrolls Online is going to turn into. It's just going to turn it into some overly hyped, really quick cash cow, and then they're going to stop actually caring about it. I mean, BioWare's pretty much shot themselves in the foot with, you know, lying to their entire fan base about Mass Effect.
You know what they need to do?
Yeah.
If they don't already do this already, and they just keep it secret, they need to, before they do anything, create bots that are capable of being programmed to run encounters hundreds of times and log all the bugs that they find.
Yeah, see, then they would run into bugs with the bots.
Damn it!
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good idea. But, no, what they need to do is hire teams and hire players that are actually, you know, maybe hire the professional WoW guilds and stuff to say, hey, we need you to test our content, and we need you to completely theorycraft this entire scenario. Find out all the bugs, find all the exploits, do the stuff that you do well, and then go through that.
It's like hiring a hacker to find all the holes in the security system.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that it just needs to be done, and games don't do anymore. I mean, obviously, Tor didn't do it. World of Warcraft, I mean, people bash that. Oh, yeah, a bunch of bugs. I'm like, yeah, because they were one of the first major MMOs of the actual generation. If you want to count EverQuest and Ultima Online, sure, yeah. But it wasn't as ridiculously mind-blowing and groundbreaking as World of Warcraft was when it was first released, because it was just a completely different aspect. I mean, the whole point of it was just different. And it was something that has never been done before. But with technology these days, I mean, it seems like Guild Wars 2 is, like, taking complete advantage of all the actual technology and smartness that they have available to them. I mean, Tor didn't. Obviously, Tor did not. I mean, I feel that they didn't test or class balance anything. The game for Guild Wars 2 pretty much felt balanced, for my opinion. I mean, the only class I really kind of was frustrated with was killing the elementalists, because they had so many blasted escape mentalities, and my thief had to stop and cast a couple melee abilities and then keep going, and that didn't seem right. And Arena addressed that in the blasted beta. They're like, okay, cool, we've seen these issues, we're going to work on them. I don't know any other companies that have actually done that besides Blizzard when the game was first released.
Mm-hmm.
BioWare said they would. BioWare has mocked people for, haha, you can't play, the game's fine. And people are like, no, it's not. This class is completely imbalanced, or this class is completely useless. I mean, it's just, I fear for the Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, but I think the thing to take here is, Arena does that same thing too. It's like, no, just learn to play your class. Right now it's in the beta. They're okay to say that. But they're looking at other people and saying, ah, you have made an incredibly good point. We will now look into it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole aspect of what ArenaNet is actually doing is saying, okay, we're going to completely be professional to the trolls and retards who obviously have no idea or want to actually learn the game, and say, you know, the game is fine right now. You need to understand that you've only played the game for 3 days. That's it. You're not going to know every ins and outs of all the classes and stuff.
I will after this next 7 hours.
Never. Yeah, well. And then, you know, to the people that make good points, like, thank you for pointing that out. We actually never thought of that. We will add that to the list. And, you know, for the most part, honestly, for the thief thread, I was really kind of worried to see a lot of the thief is OP, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of it was, you know, them begging for permastealth. And I'm like, please no. That's just going to make the class overpowered, and then my class, again, is going to get nerfed, and I won't enjoy playing it. And, you know, the way the thief is set up is I really enjoyed playing it. I enjoyed having stealth as an actual mechanic and not as an actual tool. There's a difference. Having it as a tool is something that you rely on way too much. Having it as just a short burst mechanic or something that actually activates when something happens is all completely skill-based. And it's not just, okay, I'm going to go up to this one, sap this guy, and then one-shot this guy, vanish, and then do it again. I mean, there's really no skill in that. So the balance of PvP in the Guild Wars 2 so far is actually pretty well. I was actually very impressed with it. I didn't find myself raging a lot. The only thing that I really kind of wish was that my stealth seemed to not work a couple times just due to some AoE, and probably mainly due to me just not understanding the mechanic as well as I could. But I only had 3 days, so I'm not going to go on the forums and go, this class is broken or this class is OP or whatever. I'm going to say, hey, here was my thoughts. I even wrote up a 5-page thing on my first impressions of the thief. And I gave a lot of positive feedback. I said, this is what I think is really annoying. I mentioned that Leaping Death Blossom and the Heartseeker made me stop dead in my tracks, cast it, and then go on. And I said, that really takes away from the flow of the class. And I wasn't bitchy about it. I wasn't like, this is stupid. You guys don't know how to make a game, blah, blah. No, it's companies, at least ArenaNet, from what I found, really react to a lot of good positive feedback. And that's good. So I think it's going to really be, honestly, on I don't remember what company is making the Elder Scrolls Online. I think it's going to be it's going to be difficult for that company to really make the game anything other than just another quote-unquote WoW clone. Because since they have gone with the hotbar and hotkey and third-person view model for a game that should not have been that way in the first place, it should stay its first person, and they should, honestly, they should scrap the entire game and start over. They really should, because it's not going to do well. There were so many people very excited for this when it was first announced, and then literally after they said this is what the gameplay is going to be like, everyone was like, oh, that's not what we wanted, and it's just, I don't know. I think that it's not going to do well. I could be wrong. Maybe they have some cool ideas that they don't know, that we don't know about. But honestly, for the most part, I am not. I just kind of fear for the game. So, yeah. Triggs, anything else?
Nope.
That's good. Cool. Well, I think we're going to end this show. Actually, you know what? Let's actually, Kat gave me permission to do this. Let's actually see if we can call up Kat and mess with her. I gotta get her phone number from my phone. One sec here. Let's see. All right, so we're gonna put her number into the call guest thingy here. 083. I'm going to make sure I actually type this right, because if it's not, I don't want to call somebody that's random and not actually. Okay, let's see here. Well, I'm not sure if her phone will actually work, though, but we'll see. We could leave a goofy message, I guess.
The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected, or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again. Announcement 2, switch 208.
Okay, so
quick bet, check the number and try again.
Yeah, I mean, let me. She might have actually changed her number, because remember, she her phone got wet and short circuited.
Oh yeah, can't actually use it.
So okay, well, oh well, that's okay. I was hoping to actually call and troll her, but you know, that's okay. We tried. But anyway, guys, it's been a crazy month here at Codebox. We've had a lot of things just kind of go everywhere. With Kat being on the not here, it's been a interesting month. We've had a lot of really cool things happen all at once, and it's been a really, really interesting adventure this past month. So hopefully she will be able to get set up soon and be back on the show. But until then, you're going to have to listen to us and just kind of... You okay, dear?
Huh?
Oh, my cat dropped a plate, and I thought something might have Yeah, anyway. So, I mean, it's actually been a lot of interesting and cool things here at Codebox. We've had a lot of, like I said, we've had a lot of really neat things happen over the past month. So, we are looking forward to having Kat back on this show. I know that we are not the most exciting people to listen to. And
speak for yourself.
Well, yeah, it's true. But, I mean, seriously, I think the main thing that I'm really looking for is community feedback. I mean, we have a good number listening to the podcast. I'd like some more live listeners, and I know that, you know, it's hard to kind of do that and listen live, and people have things going on, and I understand that. I do. But honestly, guys, if there's something that we can improve, if there's something that, you know, maybe we can add or whatever, give us feedback. I mean, it's really kind of all about what you guys want to hear. I mean, I know this show is kind of catered to a lot of what other shows are out there on the internet. And so we kind of have a big shoe to fill, so to speak. So seriously, call in the show when we actually do our live shows. Listen in when we do our special interviews with people. And I know that we're always, you know, excited to read emails and stuff from listeners and feedback. So boxheads@codeboxmedia.com is the official email. And we read all types of feedback and everything. So, guys, seriously, send us your emails, et cetera, and just kind of let us know that maybe we're not doing something right, or maybe we're doing something good and you guys want to, you know, commend us for it, which is always nice. It's always nice to hear encouraging feedback. One thing that I also want to point out is we need more iTunes reviews. We only have one. And
is it good?
Yeah, it's actually from Kat.
Oh.
So, yeah. But, I mean, you know, guys, seriously, like, go on iTunes. If you actually are one of our podcast listeners, give us a review. It literally takes 2 minutes to do. I mean, if you're on your computer, it takes even shorter. All you got to do is, if you're from your phone, you just got to type in your password like you would have to with buying an app anyway. Leave us a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, 1-star review, and we will, you know, say it on air and see what we can do and improve, or just kind of, you know, shout out to us saying, you know, hey, you're doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. It'll help us go up into the iTunes rankings and actual search bars and engines and whatnot. So kind of give us some more reviews, because I know there's a couple hundred of you that listen to this podcast, because I can see the numbers. It's not like it's a hidden trait there. I know that we have listeners. It's not like it's just me, Shriggs, and Kat talking to ourselves. So iTunes reviews would be really appreciated, guys. It really would. I know that this month has been kind of a weird show schedule, and just kind of a weird shows in general, because Kat's not here to kind of keep us on topic. But, I mean, for the most part, I think me and Shriggs have done pretty well holding down the fort. It's just, like I said, we've had a lot of really neat things going on the past month. So it's been a little bit difficult to juggle all that and this and then all that as well. But, you know, thankfully, we have Leprechauns to help us, and they've been really nice. They haven't punished us and beaten us too severely, so that's good. Shriggs is working on more comics, and we also have a new art member to the team. His name is Enzo. So, sup, dude, if you're listening. Not even sure if you listen to this or not. But he has been doing a lot of really nice banners and backgrounds for us. He did our new YouTube layout as well. So, very, very talented artist as well. Shriggs, I know you posted the new Box Heads comic strip that we started. Check that out. I actually laughed when I saw this one. It was very funny. It had to do with the Kinect. So if you guys are a fan of the Xbox Kinect, and or if you're not a fan of the Xbox Kinect, you will definitely take it out of the comic. CodeboxMedia.com. It's on the front page, along with the rest of our Guild Wars 2 footage and stuff that's slowly being added as well. But again, guys, just to recap, iTunes reviews are much appreciated. Let your family and friends know about the podcast, and et cetera, et cetera. If you are a small indie developer company, and or even a big guru company want a interview, we're more than happy to share our airwaves and get you on and give you some free advertisement type of thing. And if you want to sponsor us, there is a page on the website to do so. Or you can contact Kat. That is kat@codeboxmedia.com. And you can talk to her about a possible sponsorship for the show. Shriggs, anything you want to add on your art end?
I've been doing some more detailed drawings. I actually put one up on my DeviantArt, jackcart.deviantart.com, of Kat as Shepherd. If anyone would like to commission something from me, I will do it, and I will do it cheaply.
Cheaply. Mm-hmm.
Cheaply.
So Shriggs is whoring himself out for artwork. Excellent.
I need food!
But also a big kind of congrats is needed on you, Shriggs. Congrats for graduating college.
Yes.
I'm sure you're happy that's finally over with. And,
I'm happy. Yes, I have the degree. I can officially do stuff now.
Yep, that's true. What is your official title now?
It is a bachelor's degree in art.
Oh, okay. Just a bachelor's degree in art?
Yep.
So you actually kind of covered a lot of stuff then in your college years, didn't you?
Yes.
Cool. Very nice. So congrats to Shriggs for graduating college. That's a big step, and Shriggs is finally becoming a man.
And by having this degree, I am officially smarter than a lot of people right now.
Oh, so you're smarter than me then?
What, do you not have a degree?
No.
Yes.
Okay. I have a diploma from graduating high school, but technically... Anyway.
Yeah, high school.
No, man, college wasn't my thing. I tried it, and I was like, this is...
No, that's cool. It's like, there was... I ran into a bunch of some hard times while I was in college.
Yeah, you know what? I was just like, I'd rather just do this. So, yeah, that's pretty much what Codebox is for me. You know, working on making it a full-time career, so... I think we've rambled enough for the last 15 minutes. So yeah, guys, contact, email again is, boxheads@codeboxmedia.com. YouTube, Facebook is /codeboxmedia. Twitter is @codeboxmedia. Very, very simple. We keep it simple here. Again, iTunes reviews are always appreciated, and check out codeboxmedia.com for more Guild Wars stuff, being released within the week. And we'll have more, footage from the actual stress test, which it is an actual stress test. Keep that in mind. And this next week, hopefully Kat will be joining us. I think she's actually done with her Disney trip this next week, so she might actually be able to join us for the show. And we will kind of get her input on how that went and how many times she almost probably threw her kids into the water to get rid of them. Because I know that on a vacation and traveling with a bunch of kids in the car and a dog, she probably went crazy.
You had a dog on a Disney trip?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, you have to remember, the trip was actually in conglomerate with their move. So
right.
They were moving everything as well, plus their dog. So keep that in mind. I know from her couple of Facebook posts, she was going crazy and going... As at one point, she was complaining that her husband was having really bad gas, so which is pretty funny, actually. So Kat, if you're listening, hi. don't hurt me. Yeah, that's it, guys. I mean, honestly, it's that's really all we had this week. Yeah.
Play the outro music.
Okay, I guess I can. So. We learned that Blizzard lost the actual battle between Valve, which is really awesome because they deserve that, and Blizzard had no actual inkling with Dota whatsoever. We learned that Elder Scrolls Online is probably going to be a... I apologize, I did not hit my mute button in time. Darn allergies. We learned that Elder Scrolls Online is most likely going to be a complete copy of World of Warcraft, unfortunately, and it does not have the first-person combat view. We learned that Shriggs did just graduate college, so congrats to him. And we also learned that Awesomenauts is doing very well. The leaderboards are apparently screwed up, and the DLC is coming out very shortly as well.
So. Triggs is greatest cosmonaut, laser monkey, and universe.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, guys, I mean, thanks again for listening. Thanks again for downloading this show. And remember, complaining will get you everywhere.
And the president supports gay marriage! Southern, right-wing, fundamentalist, Christian zealots can suck it!
Thanks, Triggs. I appreciate you ruining the show again. Yeah. Anyway, guys, take care. Bye-bye.